welcome back to another episode of the Hip Hop Social Worker. I am your host, Christopher Scott. And today we're going to talk about interruptions. One interruption or disruption, if you want to prefer that term. I was supposed to have a guest today. Didn't work out. So show must go on. So, to pick up and let's see what we can do. But basically, I've been in like this kind of weird, this weird period, you know, dealing with a disruption or interruption that I had. If you guys all know, but follow me, I was dealing with unemployment, and really trying to figure out my next move. I think I got it figured out, but still kind of waiting to see, how things fall. You know, still really uncertain, you know, so I've just been dealing with that. It was kind of weird, being laid off. I never experienced that kind of thing, you know. It just wasn't something that I'm used to. So, really just like, you know, the franticness of, you know, trying to find something that replaced the old resources, trying to make old contacts, trying to mend old relationships that I might have harmed and, you know, that I might think I might need now. And really just trying to just figure it out, you know. It's been tough, but I've been going through it, and I really just, we're not going through it like that, but I just been making it, you know. There's one thing that I kind of, had to tell myself is that, you know, at the end of the day, you can get a job, you know, like you'll find, like, if you really had to go, you might not get a job, you know, that pays what you was making in the school district. But, you know, if you got to make a paycheck, you can get a job that can pay your bills. You know, it might be all you can do. But I'm confident enough that I can do that. But, you know, a part of the stress is that really just trying to make my next move my best move, you know, because I don't want to be in any old situation. You know, I feel like I was in that situation at the school district, and, you know, I don't want to just look at something and not really wholeheartedly love to do it, you know, because at the end of the day, it only hurts your career, you know, when you try to get an opportunity that you're not really into, but they got, you know, they got good benefits or the pay is great. It's like, no, you need an opportunity that's going to help you grow, you know. So I've been dealing with that. I have found some opportunities, but like I said, I'm just kind of waiting for, you know, the pieces to fall in line, you know. But during this whole process, it has been stressful, you know. I've caught myself stress eating, you know, just like, you know, going out to lunch, eating lunch, and then like driving down the street and like, hey, you know, that looks good too. Well, fuck it, let's go get it, you know, and just like going to get lunch, going to the store, buying, you know, all kind of like different drinks. Not alcoholic drinks, but, you know, like, just kind of like juices, cookies, snacks, those kind of things, just because I definitely feel the stress of, you know, stuff not falling into place like I wanted it to, you know. When I graduated grad school in 2017, I had about, I was turning down jobs left and right, you know, so I figured that kind of thing would happen again, and it hasn't really happened, it hasn't really happened like that, you know. I got a few opportunities, but they're not like the most like ideal. They're good opportunities, but not like easy, you know. So that's what I'm working with, you know. But as far as like how the interruption came, I feel like this is kind of how people live their life. You know, like, you really don't want to deal with interruption. You don't want to deal with change, you know, especially like in this day of age where, you know, I feel like everybody's kind of under the same stress of how society works, you know. Go to work, pay bills, Take care of your family, get up and do it again, you know. And in that kind of environment with that kind of stress, where everybody's stressed, you know, your boss is stressed, you stressed, the person you making a design for is stressed, the person you give therapy to is definitely stressed. So, you know, I just feel like that, you know, when interruption comes, it's kind of hard to pick up and just keep it moving, you know. It just really is. Yeah. So I'm learning this process. It's something I really don't want to go through again, but I don't call the shots, but I'm trying to put myself in a position to call the shots, you know. During this process, I had a real like vulnerable moment, and I called my mom and asked her to pray for me, you know. Really just because I felt like I needed it, you know, but I feel like my relationship with, you know, my spiritual relationship wasn't strong enough for me to pray and be at ease with it. You know, I had to have her do it because she's just more in tune than I am, you know, and I'm learning how to be better at that because I feel like that's a good part of my mental practice. It's really just putting faith in a higher power, putting faith in something to know that it'll be okay. You know, it'll be all right. I don't have all the answers. Even if I did have all the answers, there would be an answer that I didn't have. That didn't really make any sense. But you know, I don't have all the answers. I can't guarantee, that tomorrow is going to go 100% right. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like I just, like, in this process of being an entrepreneur, a person that just has goals outside of going to work and sitting down for 8 hours and getting a check, you got to really have faith in something, because if you don't, you would definitely go crazy, because you never really know what kind of process or what part of the process you're in, you know. Of course, there are certain things to let you know, like, okay, you know, I'm making some progress here. But all in all, I mean, you never really know until you look up and you might say, oh, shit, well, this is happening. And, okay, so I might be doing something right, you know. And it's just a constant, you know, like mind fuck, you know. It's just always trying to, you know, figure it out, you know what I'm saying. So dealing with this interruption, I feel like, because I'm in the mental health field, I'm handling it better than if I didn't, like if I wasn't self-aware already, you know, like if I wasn't a person who kind of knew, like, just more or less just about themselves, about their mental, you know, I probably would have been stressed and, you know, probably would have been in a depression to where, like, I didn't want to leave the house, you know, because I felt that coming, you know, like I feel like I was chilling and I felt those kind of thoughts coming, but, you know, just kind of thinking about, just really just thinking about my end goal, you know, talking to my friends keep me grounded, you know, like different random people shouting me out, you know, to let people, in that kind of like a self-reassurance thing that, okay, well, people are listening to you. People do respect the things that you do and say. So it's not, no, so everything you're doing isn't for nothing, you know. So I really just got to put my faith in my grind and go get it, you know. I know that sounds easier said than done, but I just got to go get it, you know. And there's not really much left to think about, you know. So, but all in all, I'm surviving, you know. I'm making it, you know. I'm trying to be strategic in my next move. Everything is everything, you know. It could be a lot worse. That's one thing too. I know that's kind of like a, you know, that's kind of a jaded answer, but when it's true, it could be a lot worse. You know, I was laid off with months in advance. You know, some people get laid off, you know, at the beginning of their shift, and it's like, here go your last 2 weeks check and beat in peace. You know, I was able to leave with, you know, a nice chunk of change. So I ain't in too much of a stressful, a space. So I just got to be grateful that was able to happen, you know, that, and also that the opportunities that did come, yeah, they're not perfect, but they are lucrative, and I just got to, you know, use all my resources. That's one thing people need to do, you know. Well, not need to do, but you should do. Need to do sounds crazy. You should do, you know, when you're in a stressful situation, you should use all your resources. And I don't mean like money resources, but like use all your support. You know, call your mom, call your friend, call whoever you need to call in this, you know, vent if you need to. Ask for some advice if you need it. Ask for like a word of peace. Ask for a prayer, you know, or just ask for them to listen. Just see if they got 5 minutes that you can use of their time, so you can just say what's going on. You know, nothing. Us holding things in don't really help nobody. You know, I'm trying not to do that because I do have a wife and a daughter that even though I might be messed up in my head, I still gotta provide for them, but also kind of be in a space where like I'm not making the space worse. You know, I'm not making the space hostile. So you know, I've been leaning on people and it's been helpful. You know, I can say that. So I'm gonna take a little break. You know, this podcast episode is gonna be about me rambling, you know, for at least two more segments. So you know, if you want to, stick around. If you don't, I got more rambling to do. All right, peace. All right, I am back. One part of this interruption phase I've been dealing with is regret. I try not to regret anything that I do. I try to be, you know, super positive. Like, oh man, this is a lesson to learn and whatever. But nah, it's been fucking with me. You know what I'm saying? Just the fact that, you know, I mean, to keep it 100%, when I took this job, you know, all the signs pointed to like, So it doesn't have like a lot of strong legs behind this job. You know, it seems like something that be here for a year, and in a year it'll be another program that was tried and missed, you know. But what they did was threw a fat salary at all of us, you know, so we could be like, all right, well, you know, hey, let's make it, let's give it an effort, you know. So, you know, it's weird that, you know, when certain situations people realize that money is, you know, a big factor when people taking jobs, you know. But then in some situations, they like to say, oh, well, you know, this is social services and we don't do this for the money, you know. So I think that's kind of weird. But anyway, but yeah, so just the regret because, you know, I left a few positions. One in particular, I had a state job that was moving towards the mental health world, you know, like their whole thing now was like trying to really focus on, you know, improving mental health in their agency with the, you know, with the clients they serve, you know, and they knew I was getting my master's degree and they supported it and it was, you know, a union job and everything. And this is really an organization that really promotes like people to, you know, get like extra trainings, you know, to be more than just, you know, like a regular line staff. If you want it, if you don't want it, then you know they're fine with that too. You know, but I'm thinking about this. Like, man, if I would have stayed at that job for like one more year, I would have been in a nice position. You know, and as soon as you get those jobs, it's hard to lose those jobs because they're union jobs. You really have to be fucking up for real, you know, to lose it. You know, and it was in the criminal justice field. So I mean, they have layoffs, but you know, those kind of, you know, corrections always gets the money, you know, they always get the budget, you know, but yeah, just a lot of regret, you know, just thinking like, man, this job didn't do nothing for me. It just kind of put me in a position to where now, like I can't really move forward because, you know, it just was bad, you know, and I've been dealing with that. But, one thing that I had to do to get over that was like just think. Well, it wasn't really my fault, you know what I'm saying? I didn't set this job up to be weak. You know, it wasn't really. I was going through a lot of stuff with, you know, my boss, his boss, the schools I worked at, like, it was just like a, it was just like I was caught in a political game, you know? So, you know, but it does suck because you want to go to a job and you want to do good work. You want to help kids. You want to do, you know, like, and you want to be a model employee, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it ain't like it wasn't, I was stuck, you know, I was stuck in a rut. And I was thinking, like, you know, if I would have stayed at, you know, even the job that I had before the school district, like, if I just stayed there, held my head down, got all the training I needed, I probably could have been in this phase of my LCSW instead of being about, you know, 3 months behind. And it's just been messing with me, you know, just been really messing with me. But I just got to remember that, you know, this is, it's just, it is what it is, you know. I'm trying to really be a person to just put his faith in the work that you can do, you know. It's this whole process has been just about me just like trying to just let things be, you know. If I can control it, cool. If I can't, move on, you know. And I feel like, you know, we tell our clients that as therapists, you know, only control what you can control. Don't worry about everything else, you know. But it's hard when you're on the other side of that coin, you know. It's just hard really to take your own advice, just to be honest. You know, it really is hard to take your own advice. You know, I would tell people not to get overwhelmed over things, but I'm easily overwhelmed. You know, I get overwhelmed in a second. Now I have like emotional intelligence, so I don't, you know, spaz out when I'm overwhelmed. I know how to kind of slow down and take a deep breath and, you know, let my mind sort things out. But also, I do get overwhelmed, you know, and I do get a little, like, I get a little upset. I get a little tight. I can feel it. Like, you know, when I get overwhelmed, I can feel my, you know, my blood pressure. But, you know, like, I feel my skin kind of like rising. I feel the hair on my skin rising, you know. I mean, I definitely can feel it. But like I said, you know, I have the emotional intelligence to just relax, chill out, don't spaz, because ain't no point to do that. You know, you just kind of ruin the whole vibe, and I don't like ruining vibes, you know. But yeah, so yeah, this, but you know, but I feel like I'm in the other phase of, so like now I'm coming out of, you know, this whole transition. You know, it's been 2 weeks since my last day of work, and you know, I feel like it's about to be something different, to where I can kind of look back and just like, all right, that was it. This is phase whatever number, phase 88. You know, life. You got so many phases. This is another phase of life, and you know, just ready to put some work in somewhere else. You know, and just build Hip Hop Social Worker up more than it has been built. You know, so yeah, so you know, it's really a beautiful thing when you could come to terms with stuff that was holding you back, you know, or that was holding you down, you know. Like, it's really just kind of, it's really like rewarding when you could sit down and say, you know what, that was it. Yeah, it sucked, but it is what it is, you know. In 5 years, when I do what I'm doing, and you know, somebody might reach out to me to come speak, you know, and that could be like the, you know, you know, your career. Like, okay, you know, yeah, let me go. But, you know, this job don't define my career. This wasn't the pinnacle of my career. This wasn't the only place hiring. You know, this wasn't the only place that I could show my work. So, you know, I'm going to go out, get some more experience, do some more dope stuff. And when I come out at the end of it, you know, I'm probably going to be shining. You know, well, I am going to be shining. So, yeah, you know, I mean, and it's good to talk that fly shit for your own self-confidence, you know, but it's also good to, like, really believe it and put the work in to do it, you know. Like, yeah, we could talk confident and we could do all that stuff, but if you don't believe it, if you ain't putting the work in to do it, ain't nobody coming to look for you, you know. That's one thing I also learned, too, doing this whole podcast process. Ain't nobody coming to look for you, you know. If you want it, you got to put it out there, you know, so I'll take a little break, and I will be back with the diagnosis of the week. All right, so before I get into this diagnosis of the week, I just want to say that what's going down at the border is real fucked up. You know, I don't really have anything like anything else to say about it. It's just real fucked up. I feel like we're gonna look back at this moment in time, and just like anything else that we have experienced or that we read about history books, we're probably not gonna have too many good things to say about it. Or maybe somebody, some sick person, will spin it to where, you know, they can put it off as just a political disagreement. But no, I mean, this is terrible. You know, we got politicians going down there and seeing these conditions, and people are still bickering back and forth about, oh, well, if they don't want to go to these camps, they shouldn't come. Listen, look, nobody leaves their home country, travels on foot to come somewhere if shit at home ain't already messed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, risking your life to come somewhere to seek an asylum, you know, and over really asylum over conditions that, you know, maybe our past politics are probably, you know, a result of, you know. So yeah, I know people think that this country is like paved with streets of gold, and we like to think that people come here just because they want to use our resources. Nah, shit is fucked up where they live at, and they need to come here for whatever reason, you know, for a better life, to escape death, you know, to really escape death. Think about that, to escape death. And then you come here and you got to be put in inhumane conditions, you know, my conspiracy theory bag is like, you know, this is all about somebody getting paid from these camps. You know, just like how people get paid from jails, somebody getting paid from these camps. You know, and you know, like, there's no real rush to fix immigration, because while people are getting locked up, somebody's making some money. You know, just like how, you know, you might have a jail somewhere. When you have a jail somewhere, you got to fill it up. And what do you do to fill it up? You manipulate a whole bunch of shit, you know what I'm saying, a whole bunch of crime, to really get those jails to fill up. And people ain't going to care too much, because in their mind, criminals are criminals. They deserve to be locked up. And this same thing with this. You know, the people who support these camps, well, they're breaking the law. It's like, so people deserve to, like, be put in inhumane conditions because they're breaking the law. And they're not even really breaking the law. They're seeking asylum, you know. So it's fucked up. As a social worker, I really, you know, I want to do more. I've signed a few petitions, but it just breaks my heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just to see people down there living like that, and see kids living like that, you know. And then, you know, the vice president goes and says, oh, well, you know, the news lied. These people are saying that they are, you know, they have been treated very, like, well. Like, no, like, people are dying. People are sick. You know, people are, yeah, it's crazy. I don't support it. I'll never support it. I'll never support any kind of cruel form of immigration. Yeah, I just don't. So there's that. But if you, you know, if you're a social worker or anybody, you know, just send me some ideas in my inbox to let me know, you know, other ideas how I can do more. And there's not a lot I can do. You know, like, I can't go, you know, do like some fat protests or something like that. But I just want to know, you know, what are other social workers doing to, you know, support, or not support, but, you know, to get these places closed down. I just want to know, like, what's going on and what are people doing? You know, I can't believe that, you know, this president is still in office, you know, and people are, like, kind of being complicit in some of the rhetoric he's spitting. You know, he's telling, you know, brown women on the Congress to go back to their countries. It's like, fam, like, this is getting ridiculous. And, you know, and I just can't believe that nothing has been done about it. He's just been going. He's really been calling the shots for the last 3 years, you know. Or 2 years, because he got inaugurated in 2017. So he's really been doing what he wants to do. And I remember, you know, people telling Obama to play the political game and all that stuff. Shit, he could have been clowning too, you know. But yeah, it is what it is. Well, it's not what it is. I hate fucking saying that. There gotta be something that can be done, because yeah, it's heartbreaking. But anyway, let me get to the diagnosis of the week. And it is delirium. Diagnostic criteria: a disturbance in attention, i.e. reduced ability to direct, focus, sustain, and shift attention and awareness, reduced orientation to the environment. The disturbance develops over a short period of time, usually hours to a few days. Represents a change from baseline attention and awareness and tends to fluctuate in severity during the course of a day. An additional disturbance in cognition, e.g. memory deficit, disorientation, language, or perception. The disturbances in the criteria A and C are not better explained by another pre-existing, established, or evolving neurocognitive disorder, or do not occur in the context of severity reduced level of arousal, such as coma. There is evidence from the history, physical examination, and laboratory findings that the disturbance is a direct physiological consequence of another medical condition, substance intoxication, or withdrawal, i.e. due to drug or abuse, i.e. due to a drug of abuse or to a medication, or exposure to a toxin, or is due to multiple, I can't say that word, etiologies. I never seen that word before. But So back to the border. It's fucked up. People are gonna look and you're gonna be on the wrong side of history. Just like how, you know, just how like everybody else was, just how the Nazis were, just how, you know, the screaming white people, screaming at people trying to go to school were, you know, you're just gonna be wrong, you know. You know, we got a lot of trauma. I mean, we've always had trauma in this country. This country has caused many people trauma, and it looks like we still doing it. This might be trauma that might come back and haunt us. You know, just keeping it 100. You know, this trauma might really come back and really, you know, be a force to be reckoned with. Because what we're creating right now is hostility. You know, we creating some hostility, and hopefully, you know, things get resolved. But you know, it's not looking too good. It's just looking like more rhetoric, more damaging language. You know, or more. There's a whole lot of bullshit. This is another week of Hip Hop Social Worker. Appreciate everybody for listening. You can go to my website, hiphopsocialworker.com. Sign up for my newsletter. Me and my buddy, we're trying to get a men's group, go out and do some walking on the waterfront in Portland. So if you're in Portland and you want to come join a group of men, you know, we're just trying to really do some exercise, you know what I'm saying? Connect, you know, make some relationships, you know, do some business, talk some creativity, or just talk about, you know, life, you know, vent or whatever, you know, because a lot of times, you know, we like to go out, we like to turn up, we like to meet for lunch or, you know, or brunch or whatever, but it's like, nah, let's just get together and let's just walk, you know, let's just try to get our blood flowing and, you know, let's just try to get things moving. That's every Saturday at 8:00 at the waterfront by the Salmon Street Springs, which is the fountain. I just found out that they were called the Salmon Street Springs. So I'm going to call them the Salmon Street Springs. All right. It's Monday. Y'all be easy. You know, have a good Monday, or don't have a good Monday. You know, it's okay to hate Mondays. Just, you know, try to find some peace this week. Mend some relationships. Try to say your peace. You know, keep your voice up. You know, don't let nobody shut your voice down. All that good stuff. I'll holler at y'all later. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.